from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
See Sparky Fiverr with you, along with our guy Charlie Usen. Chicago Charlie joining us now to talk about the crew presented by Pool Park in Menominee Falls, home for all of your, if you want to buy a new pool, new whirlpool, hot tub, if you're looking for some accessories, they have a lot of cool automated stuff to help clean your pool and so forth. Check them out. Go local. Pool Park in Menominee Falls. They do a great job out there and can help you with all those needs. Joining us now, he is Tim Mumma from BrewerFanatic.com on Twitter at Tim_Mumma. I texted him the other day. I'm like, it's been a month. I need some more Mumma time on my show. Tim, thanks for coming on.
Always a pleasure, man. Always a pleasure.
Let's talk about the crappy starting pitching at the front of this rotation to start off, okay? First off, let's start with Freddie Peralta. Freddie Peralta in the month of May has a 6.19 ERA in 16 innings pitched. He's given up runs of 5 innings, 3 runs to the Cubs, then the Cardinals, 6 innings, 3 runs, which technically is a quality start. And then the Astros, obviously 5 innings and 5 earned runs over the weekend. His last time he got through a start giving up less than 2 runs was April 19th against the Cardinals. His next best start was 2 earned runs and 5 1/3 against Tampa. And then between that and that game against the Cardinals, he gave up 5 to the Pirates in 4 2/3. While he got off to a pretty decent start and we were pretty excited, I feel like old Freddy is kind of what we have here, and it's not ace Freddy like everybody thought they were going to have.
Yeah, it's a little disappointing, obviously. Like you said, he got off such a great start. And, I mean, obviously when his stuff is on point, he's got as good stuff as anybody in the league. He really does. But for whatever reason, he struggles with that command, and it seems like it just disappears quickly, and he can't find it again. And I don't know if that's something that they're ever going to be able to correct on a regular basis because of his MO. I think you'll get ace like Freddie, you know, a handful of starts of every 10, which is fine. But like you said, they needed him to be an ace, especially the way everyone else is sort of kind of come back down to earth their last few starts as well. And, you know, I don't know if it has anything to do with feeling the pressure. I don't know if it's workload or anything like that. I just think, you know, he slotted really well to be that number 3 guy behind a couple of aces. And I think you're just seeing some of the warts pop out a little bit more because you are trying to rely on him and you do need him to go deep into games, at least a little bit deeper than he has been. Because we know the other starters aren't going to do that, and the bullpen is getting taxed all the time. That's why we're shuffling guys up and down from AAA and bringing in free agents and doing everything they can. But if they're going to continue to compete, play at a 95 win pace, which is probably unlikely anyway, they definitely need him to be more consistent, at least when it comes to holding opponents to three runs or less on a regular base.
Tim, let's talk about Colin Ray, who now, unfortunately, with the Wade Miley injury, has to be the number two in this rotation. And while he got off to a good start his first first four games, he pitched really well. Now, four of the last five, he's given up three runs or more, and twice giving up five runs in two separate outings, including this weekend against the Houston Astros again. Also concerning here, because again, this isn't a guy that had huge high expectations when the Brewers had him last year and kind of was kind of a reclamation project to a certain degree, I guess, for the Brewers. One that they made work, obviously. He's 33 years old. This is not a prospect by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, they're definitely still tinkering. I mean, I think every time on the broadcast, they promote always got 6-7 pitches, which is great. The problem is, can he throw, you know, three or four of them consistently enough and effectively enough to get outs? And again, similar to Peralta, he's had his solid outings, but he just doesn't have the stuff Peralta does, for one. And for two, to your point, he's never really carried a load of a staff either. So, you know, I mean, it's all these questions with the rotation period, and I think that's kind of what you're getting at, is the team needs help. I mean, yep. They've been able to kind of fight through it, whether it's because of Ray getting through five and giving up those three runs, and it's really their offense that has carried them, which is strange to hear. But as far as Colin Ray goes, man, he's probably offering as much as he can, and you're going to see those spurts just like he did last year. But again, you hate to compare, you know, last season or two seasons ago. I just don't think you can rely on a bunch of 2, 3, 4 starters and not have at least one or two guys that give you that length. And we saw yesterday, you face a good lineup, and the Astros are a good lineup, and they've been playing a lot better over the last, you know, 10 days or so. You can't get away with mistakes, can't fall behind guys, and that's what happened to him, and eventually it burned him. And even if he doesn't give up a ton of runs, as I said, if he keeps up the same trend of not getting through enough innings, and now we're burning the bullpen, and now yep. You don't know how that sets up for the rest of the week. It's just, it becomes a really kind of dangerous domino effect that the Brewers either have to figure it out internally, or they're going to have to find some way to bring somebody in and trust their scouting, whether it's a trade or some other option.
They brought up this kid, Blaylock, from AA today, and Charlie and I were talking about it because ERA-wise, he's got like a 2.27 ERA or something like that at AA, 23 years old. The question is, do they put him into the bullpen? Because that obviously makes a lot of sense at this point, because, you know, he hasn't pitched in AAA. Or is this somebody they're going to consider for the starting rotation going forward? Because they let, what's that dude's name, Varela or whatever the hell his name is. Yeah, he's gone. Not that we're going to miss him. So he's gone. So I'm guessing he goes into the bullpen. But that's the type of stuff you need. And what Robert Gasser has given you now through two starts, one run ball, and damn near shutout ball for two games, is something that's very welcome. But again,
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You're asking a lot from a guy that, you know, you're going to have to, if he's going to stay in this rotation, innings limits and so forth are going to be a thing here as we move forward.
100%, and that's why I think, you know, they have to start looking at other guys. And I obviously said they're giving Blaylock a shot, at least for now, probably in the bullpen, just to keep a fresh arm there. I think, you know, one thing that has hurt them, and maybe they weren't expecting as much from him, but having Ashby really struggle in the minors right now is, you know, that's, he's not an option, at least not in their view. So I think that hurts as far as maybe they thought he'd have, they'd have him in some depth. And then, you know, like you said, you already have Gasser up. So now when does it get to the point of Mizorowski coming up? Like, do they want to push that button now? Is it too early to kind of push him into that role? I think that's one of the big questions they have, too, is how many guys can we keep bringing up? And are we just throwing spaghetti against the wall and hoping that something sticks? It kind of feels that way, especially with the back end of the bullpen guys. But then you still have the question with the starters. I mean, how many times can you go to these veterans or to the young guys who don't have the real experience in getting through 5-6 innings? How many times can you call a guy up and down before you just have to cut bait with them? You know, they brought in White to see if he could do something. Obviously, Vera, they've kind of used him as much as they possibly could in those non-leverage situations. That's why now they switched him out. It really has kind of become a mess. I know the Brewers have been kind of professionals at this for years, especially when it comes to the bullpen, but there's just too many holes to fill and too many innings to have to cover up right now. And who knows how much longer their offense can stay as hot as they have been. I do think they can, but there's only so much they can do if you're giving up 5-6 runs a night.
Blaylock was just with the Timber Rattlers last year in Appleton. I mean, it's not like this dude's got a ton of pitches thrown in the minors, because he hasn't, but that just speaks to where they got what they have at the AAA level, which isn't a ton. So you're having to go down to AA in order to try and get arms to kind of help. And I have been pleading for the last 2 weeks about possibly making a move. Listen, if the Marlins are going to have a fire sale, Tim Mumma, then by all means, go get a pitcher.
100%, and maybe those conversations can happen in person this week with the Marlins. I do think they have to make a move one way or the other. Now the question is, you know, how much are you willing to give up? Because is Matt Arnold and company, are they thinking this is really a year to do anything? Are they just going to let the chips fall where they may, run with the young guys? I think there's definitely opportunity. I mean, we've been, not only us, but nationally, people have been promoting how good the Brewers farm system is, especially depth-wise, so dangle some of those pieces out there and see what you can do. I mean, they did a great job in getting Hudson from the Dodgers. Yep. Obviously, he was in a roster crunch, but to your point, the Marlins aren't going anywhere. They already dealt away their, you know, arguably outside of Alcantara, their most popular player. So maybe that's just something that the Brewers have to bite the bullet a little bit on and say that they're willing to give up a little bit of the future to bring somebody in that's going to, I don't know, plug the hole a little bit, because they definitely have an opportunity. We know the NL Central is not that special. It looks like it's going to be them and the Cubs, and we definitely don't want Craig Council getting the upper edge this year on that. So make a little move, make a little splash. Doesn't have to be, you know, the highest end of players, but there's opportunity out there. And if it's not the Marlins, there are other guys definitely looking, that will be looking as we get closer to the deadline for a deal.
Totally agree. Tim Mumma, BrewerFanatic.com. Great website. Check him out at BrewerFanatic.com on Twitter, at Tim_Mumma. D.L. Hall was featured in a piece on Brewer Fanatic. I believe it was today I saw it. Talking about trying to figure out his velocity. And it's a great piece. And it's talking about how they pitched him one inning in his first rehab outing. I think it was yesterday or over the weekend. And that they're going to continue to do that. So there's a chance D.L. Hall comes back as a reliever instead of as a starter. That's a huge blow if he doesn't come back as a starter.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the tough part for me is that I remember when the trade first went down, you actually did text me, and I wasn't a fan. I wasn't a big D.L. Hall fan. I loved Ortiz, and thankfully that's kind of pretty good right now.
Yeah, it is.
but as far as Hall, I kind of saw him that, yeah, he could be probably a really good reliever, but if you're going to make that trade, you're looking at him as a starter. And I don't know if it's just a velocity concern. I don't know if they're worried they can't keep him consistently in the zone and throwing at that high velocity as a starter, because he really struggled to do one or the other. It seemed like he could have a little bit of command, but he had to scale back the velo, and then he would get knocked around. But look, as we talked about, they just need pitchers, period. So if he can be a guy who gives them two innings out of the bullpen and quality innings, that's great. It still doesn't solve their rotation problem. To your point, they were at least looking at him at the beginning of the year to be one of those guys that they could rely on at least a little bit. But I don't think it necessarily is the worst thing in the world if he becomes that, you know, high leverage, multiple inning guy that can come in and throw gas, because he doesn't have to worry about throwing 80, 90, 100 pitches. He can come in just looking to light the world on fire, blow some guys away. And he did a pretty good job of that with the Orioles last year in some limited time. So if that's going to be the best option, that's what you got to roll with. There's no real reason to try to fit him into a role that's just going to burn the crew even more. I mean, he was pitching, what, 3 2/3?
Yep.
That's even worse than the other guys in the rotation. So, again, bite the bullet, use him how he might be most effective, and just roll from there.
I want to talk about this offense quickly. You brought up Joey Ortiz, who's been unconscious lately, which is amazing. But we were talking about this earlier back in the first hour of the show, in the 2 o'clock hour. If you missed it, go to your Odyssey app, listen to it there, 1250amthefan.com, about this offensive lineup and what it looks like when Garrett Mitchell finally gets back here next month, and when Reese Hoskins comes back, and now all of a sudden Perkins comes out of the lineup, Bowers comes out of the lineup. We had a nice weekend. But those two come out of the lineup, and how much deeper this lineup is now, where Frelick is your 8-hitter. Church, you're asking a lot from a guy that, you know, you're going to have to, if he's going to stay in this rotation, innings limits and so forth are going to be a thing here as we move forward.
100%, and that's why I think, you know, they have to start looking at other guys. And I obviously said they're giving Blaylock a shot, at least for now, probably in the bullpen, just to keep a fresh arm there. I think, you know, one thing that has hurt them, and maybe they weren't expecting as much from him, but having Ashby really struggle in the minors right now is, you know, that's, he's not an option, at least not in their view. So I think that hurts, as far as maybe they thought they'd have him in some depth. And then, you know, like you said, you already have Gasser up. So now when does it get to the point of Mizorowski coming up? Like, do they want to push that button now? Is it too early to kind of push him into that role? I think that's one of the big questions they have, too, is how many guys can we keep bringing up? And are we just throwing spaghetti against the wall and hoping that something sticks? It kind of feels that way, especially with the back end of the bullpen guys. But then you still have the question with the starters. I mean, how many times can you go to these veterans or to the young guys who don't have the real experience in getting through 5-6 innings? How many times can you call a guy up and down before you just have to cut bait with them? You know, they brought in White to see if he could do something. Obviously, Vera, they've kind of used him as much as they possibly could in those non-leverage situations. That's why now they switched him out. It really has kind of become a mess. I know the Brewers have been kind of professionals at this for years, especially when it comes to the bullpen, but there's just too many holes to fill and too many innings to have to cover up right now. And who knows how much longer their offense can stay as hot as they have been. I do think they can, but there's only so much they can do if you're giving up 5-6 runs a night.
Blaylock was just with the Timber Rattlers last year in Appleton. I mean, it's not like this dude's got a ton of pitches thrown in the minors, because he hasn't, but that just speaks to where they got what they have at the AAA level, which isn't a ton. So you're having to go down to AA in order to try and get arms to kind of help. And I have been pleading for the last 2 weeks about possibly making a move. Listen, if the Marlins are going to have a fire sale, Tim Mumma, then by all means, go get a pitcher.
100%, and maybe those conversations can happen in person this week with the Marlins. I do think they have to make a move one way or the other. Now the question is, you know, how much are you willing to give up? Because is Matt Arnold and company, are they thinking this is really a year to do anything? Are they just going to let the chips fall where they may, run with the young guys? I think there's definitely opportunity. I mean, we've been, not only us, but nationally, people have been promoting how good the Brewers farm system is, especially depth-wise, so dangle some of those pieces out there and see what you can do. I mean, they did a great job in getting Hudson from the Dodgers. Yep. Obviously, he was in a roster crunch, but to your point, the Marlins aren't going anywhere. They already dealt away their, you know, arguably, outside of Alcantara, their most popular player. So maybe that's just something that the Brewers have to bite the bullet a little bit on and say that they're willing to give up a little bit of the future to bring somebody in that's going to, I don't know, plug the hole a little bit, because they definitely have an opportunity. We know the NL Central is not that special. It looks like it's going to be them and the Cubs, and we definitely don't want Craig Council getting the upper edge this year on that. So make a little move, make a little splash. Doesn't have to be, you know, the highest end of players, but there's opportunity out there. And if it's not the Marlins, there are other guys definitely looking, that will be looking as we get closer to the deadline for a deal.
Totally agree. Tim Mumma, BrewerFanatic.com. Great website. Check him out at BrewerFanatic.com on Twitter, @Tim_Mumma. D.L. Hall was featured in a piece on Brewer Fanatic. I believe it was today I saw it. Talking about trying to figure out his velocity. And it's a great piece. And it's talking about how they pitched him one inning in his first rehab outing. I think it was yesterday or over the weekend. And that they're going to continue to do that. So there's a chance D.L. Hall comes back as a reliever instead of as a starter. That's a huge blow if he doesn't come back as a starter.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the tough part for me is that I remember when the trade first went down, you actually did text me, and I wasn't a fan. I wasn't a big D.L. Hall fan. I loved Ortiz, and thankfully that's kind of pretty good right now.
Yeah, it is.
But as far as Hall, I kind of saw him that, yeah, he could be probably a really good reliever, but if you're going to make that trade, you're looking at him as a starter. And I don't know if it's just a velocity concern. I don't know if they're worried they can't keep him consistently in the zone and throwing at that high velocity as a starter, because he really struggled to do one or the other. It seemed like he could have a little bit of command, but he had to scale back the velo, and then he would get knocked around. But look, as we talked about, they just need pitchers, period. So if he can be a guy who gives them two innings out of the bullpen and quality innings, that's great. It still doesn't solve their rotation problem. To your point, they were at least looking at him at the beginning of the year to be one of those guys that they could rely on at least a little bit. But I don't think it necessarily is the worst thing in the world if he becomes that, you know, high leverage, multiple inning guy that can come in and throw gas, because he doesn't have to worry about throwing 80, 90, 100 pitches. He can come in just looking to light the world on fire, blow some guys away. And he did a pretty good job of that with the Orioles last year in some limited time. So if that's going to be the best option, that's what you got to roll with. There's no real reason to try to fit him into a role that's just going to burn the crew even more. I mean, he was pitching, what, 3 2/3?
Yep.
That's even worse than the other guys in the rotation. So, again, bite the bullet, use him how he might be most effective, and just roll from there.
I want to talk about this offense quickly. You brought up Joey Ortiz, who's been unconscious lately, which is amazing. But we were talking about this earlier back in the first hour of the show, in the 2 o'clock hour. If you missed it, go to your Odyssey app, listen to it there, 1250amthefan.com. About this offensive lineup and what it looks like when Garrett Mitchell finally gets back here next month, and when Rhys Hoskins comes back, and now all of a sudden Perkins comes out of the lineup, Bowers comes out of the lineup. What a nice weekend. But those two come out of the lineup, and how much deeper this lineup is now, where Frelick is your 8 hitter, Cheerio is your 9 hitter. It looks significantly better.
Yeah, look, nothing against Blake Perkins. He's a fantastic outfielder. Seems like a good teammate and all that. And he was an all-star for, 3-4 weeks of the season.
Some big butt coming.
He has come crashing down to earth. And that's that is what we call regression. Yes. I think everybody knows that term by now. That in and of itself would be huge, especially if Mitchell can come back and be kind of that offensive force, not necessarily from a power perspective, but, you know, just getting on base, wreaking havoc on the bases, that kind of thing. And obviously don't lose much defense with him either. Of course, health will be the concern. And to your point, they just keep adding to the options when they do get these guys back. I mean, they already have a pretty diverse lineup where they have different guys kind of bringing different skill sets. Sometimes I think they get a little too cute with trying to find the matchups, and I think that's as much an organizational thing as it is a Murphy thing, because Council did the same.
Yep.
Sometimes you got to just roll with guys that are actually playing well. I'm not saying they have this exact same lineup all the time, but you can really, like you said, do some more damage, or at least keep doing what you've been doing this, you know, first part of the season, because it has been impressive. They're, what, 3rd in runs scored, I think, still. And again, part of that is the diversity of the lineup. You got guys that get on base, you got contact guys. You've obviously hit for plenty of power right now, and hopefully you can add to that as you start getting healthy and really being able to play better matchups with the lineups as you go forward. So, again, we talk about how dire the pitching looks and they need to make moves. The offense has been doing their job and then some, and they still have weapons that'll be coming back.
He is Tim Mumma, BrewerFanatic.com. I love him. Follow him on Twitter @Tim_Mumma. Thank you so much, my friend. I didn't yell at you at all the entire time.
That was awesome. I know. We can have a normal conversation about the Brewers. That's awesome.
First place Brewers. It makes me happy. Take care, Tim.
Take care.
There he is, Tim Mumma.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.